morning, everybody. I'm glad you heard me there, Josh. I had one person tell me good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, I'm starting to feel, I don't know, I'm feeling something. I don't know. Yeah, better than saying good night, I guess, or nice knowing you. That wouldn't be good, would it? Guys, it's great to be here today, and yes, we are a little bit less than we were last Sunday. I hear echoes in here today. I didn't hear them last Sunday. We had so many people in here that there wasn't a lot of sound that was echoing around, but hey, that's okay. We're two or more gathered in his name. There he will be also. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to have church regardless. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. I ask you the question today. Amen. How is the battle being won? How is the battle being won? The battle between the flesh and the spirit. This is a battle that's going to continue to go on for the rest of our lives as believers, and I want to talk to us about that today. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to first look at verses 22 and 23. So I'm going to ask those of you that will, if you can, please stand to your feet and honor and reverence of reading God's Word, beginning with verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Father God, I just ask your blessings on this service, Lord. Please let your Holy Spirit descend upon us. Father God, let nothing I say be about me, but let it be all about you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, any of you have any areas of your life that are out of control? Just think about that for just a minute. Some people went ahead and testified, amen. Hey, we all have some things that get out of control every now and then, right? I mean, let's face it. We are of the flesh, right? We are living in a fallen world. But guys, I'm going to try to explain to you today the secret of the fruit. How do you get that fruit of the Spirit? How do you show that fruit of the Spirit? Let me go ahead and tell you, in and of yourselves, you cannot bear fruit. I want to make sure everybody understands that. The Holy Spirit will enable you to share this fruit. And I'm going to talk about that later. You know, maybe it's finances or moral issues or relationships or attitudes or habits or gossip or laziness. Who knows what area you may be struggling in your life. Guys, a lack of self-control in any part of our lives does not fit who we are in Christ. We are to be under control. We're to control our tongue. We're to control ourselves. We're to control our bodies. And guys, I think sometimes when we get out of fellowship with God, we start noticing that these things begin to slip and begin to head in the opposite direction. You know, God's desire is that we live in full surrender to Him so that His Spirit can produce in us the fruit of self-control. I'm focusing on the fruit of self-control today. But guys, all of them are a package deal. That's why it says the fruit of the Spirit. It does not say the fruits so that you can pick and choose which one you want. If you allow the Holy Spirit of God to enable you, all of this fruit will be evident in your life. Kindness, goodness, patience, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, self-control. But you've got to allow the Holy Spirit of God to be inside you and dwell inside you and control every aspect of your life. If we're in a tug of war with God for control of our lives, guys, you're going to experience tension, stress, unhappiness. Why? Because we're at odds with God when that happens. We're at odds with Him when that happens in our lives. Anytime we let our desires and impulses rule our lives, there will be no rest, peace, or joy. You're not going to find rest. You're not going to find peace. You're not going to find joy when you're in conflict with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our heart. I've talked about this before, guys. The Holy Spirit of God is our enabler. For us to be enabled to do great things and to be the people that God wants us to be, the Holy Spirit must bring about those changes and must bring that out of us and cultivate that within us. The Holy Spirit must be in control of our life. You wonder why things spiral out of control. It's because the Holy Spirit of God has been suppressed in the life of a believer. We're not allowing Him to have full control over us. There are many things we struggle with in this life, guys. I want to list you some of the ones that tend to cause us the most problems. I'm on the second bullet in your sermon notes here. Acceptance by others, being loved by others, pleasure, sex, wealth and security, achievement, notoriety or fame, happiness, personal attractiveness, control, or self-acceptance. Guys, these are just some of many things that can gain control of us if we're not careful. If any of these affect you at some point in time, I hope that during this message today, you can identify that area or areas in your life and you can understand how to gain control of that. How do we combat that? How do we have self-control? And I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. If you think you're going to gain self-control by yourself, it's not happening. You can't just one day say, if you're an alcoholic, for example, you can't just one day walk up and say, you know what, God, I'm going to kick this thing. I'm going to overcome this thing. Just help me do it, Lord. I'm going to. You are nothing without Christ. Do you understand that? You are nothing. You cannot show the fruit of the Spirit without the Holy Spirit of God living in you.
Amen.
It's not going to happen. You're not going to be kind. Oh, you think you're kind, but it's not going to be the kind of kindness that God wants you to have. You're not going to be under control because the fruit of the Spirit, part of that is self-control. How do you get it? You got to be enabled by the Holy Spirit of God. Guys, you can do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit of God if you're a believer. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get out of these addictions you're under. You're not going to get out of this habit of saying the wrong things and thinking the wrong things. The only way that will happen is when you let the Holy Spirit enable you. When you let Him have complete control and reign of your life. Complete. Not what you want to give Him, but complete. Guys, it's got to be that way. You know, there are many things that we struggle with. I think it's important to understand the scripture in Galatians 5 in reference to the flesh versus the spirit. I want to talk about that a little bit today. Guys, self-control is thinking before you act. That's what self-control is. You're thinking before you act. And you're seriously considering the possibility of the results of your actions. Someone who commits crime, they don't just walk up and immediately do it. They think about it. They plan it. A lot of things are premeditated. Oh, we're going to go out and we're going to do this on such and such a day. So guys, it's not like these things just spontaneously happen. You think about it. You dwell on it. What does the book of James say happens when temptation comes and we allow it to stay in our mind? Then we what? We act on it. You know why? Because we've not allowed the Holy Spirit of God to enable us to have self-control. Anytime we react in that way, we're not showing the kind of self-control God wants us to have. Now listen to me. I understand. I get it. We're going to sin. We're going to slip up. We're going to do things that are wrong. But listen to me. When the Holy Spirit of God is living in you, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be doing the right thing. You may have one time here and one time there, but 9 times out of 10, you're going to be moving in the right direction when you let Jesus have complete control of your life. You know what's wrong with the world today? People are not letting Jesus have control of their life. I'm talking about believers right now. Forget about the rest of the world. They're out of control. I'm talking about the believers in this world not letting Jesus have control of their life. That's why we're spiraling out of control, guys. You know, the Spirit stands in contrast to the deeds of the flesh. Look at Galatians 5. Let's look at 19 through 21 a minute. We're going to talk about the flesh for a minute. I talked about the fruit of the Spirit in the scripture we read this morning, but let's look at 19 through 21 in Galatians chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's just wild, loose living, guys. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Look how big this list is. Envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I know some of you are thinking, oh gosh, I did a couple of those things not too long ago. Am I not going to go to heaven? And that's not what the scripture's saying. I'm going to explain this to you better in just a minute, okay? So just bear with me on that thought right there. Guys, this is a list of actions that are not from the Spirit. They're not from the Spirit. They're from the fleshly sin nature. Now the warning is given at the end of that scripture that those who practice these sins will not see heaven. Now, this is not talking about having committed them in the past or having occasionally committed these sins in the present or failing to resist temptation in one of these areas. The word practice is the key word here. I want to make sure you understand that. It's the key word to an accurate understanding of this passage. To practice means, guys, that you are making it a consistent habit, lifestyle, or an identity. Guys, if you are doing any of these things that I just read about to you consistently, you're making them a part of your lifestyle, you're making them a habit in your life, that is what the scripture is talking about. Now, if you've slipped up along the way once or twice, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are saying they're born again believers who are consistently practicing this. That's what's wrong with the world today. We have misguided believers in Jesus who are not taking the gospel and not letting others see Jesus in them. And as a result, we've got confused people in the world. We have people looking at us saying, "What's different about you?" Guys, we got to be focused on this. If you are practicing these things consistently, that's what we're talking about here. Guys, those who do this are most likely not Christians anyway. Because the Bible says no one who still lives continually in sin is really saved. Listen to what I'm saying. No one who continually lives in sin is really saved. You know why? Because the Bible tells us in Christ we are what? New creatures. The old is gone, the new has come. You know why? Because you let the Holy Spirit of God infiltrate your life and take over your life and enable you to produce the fruit of the Spirit. You can't produce it without Jesus. You're going to keep doing these things without Jesus. And if you already have Jesus and you are doing these things, you know what's happened? You've let Jesus slip out of his rightful place in your life. That's why it's happening. That's why you're not controlling it. You got to let him get back in control. How do you do that? By filling your mind with Jesus.
Amen.
That's the key to it, guys. You got to take all this junk that's taking your secondary time and you got to pump Jesus into it. You got to pump him into your life. Jesus comes in, good comes out. Jesus comes in, you're going to do the right thing. Jesus comes in, you're going to say the right thing. Jesus comes in, you're going to look at the right things on TV and on your computer. See, without Jesus in there, where he should be, the devil has a field day in that kind of believer. That's exactly what the devil wants. That's exactly what he wants. Guys, all who have genuinely been saved will turn their back on sin. If you've genuinely been saved, you're going to turn your back on sin. God's going to bring a circumstance in your life. If you're caught up in something you ought not be, he's going to put the right people in your life. He's going to put the right circumstances in your life as a wake-up call. Hey, I want my place back. I don't want your heart filled with this stuff. I want your heart filled with me. I want you thinking about me, not thinking about what the devil's trying to get you to think about. And I want you to live for me. And guess what? I'm going to live through you. I'm going to do great things through you if you'll only let me live where I belong, in your heart. That's the problem, guys. We got people wanting to know, oh, why am I doing this? I don't want to do this. This is not me. Well, guys, if it's not you, then who is it? It's not Jesus living in you. That's what it is. It's not that it's not you. You're the same person. But you're a new creature if you know Jesus Christ. If you allow him to fill you from the inside on a continual basis, you will see that these things no longer are appealing to you. How do you get over this, Pastor? How can I move past this? Well, let me tell you something. You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to do a thing to get over this stuff. If you enable the Holy Spirit of God to come in and allow him to enable you, he does it for you. Can I get a witness? Amen. He does it for you. You don't have to work at it. Well, preacher, don't I have to quit doing this and quit doing that if I'm going to get over what I'm doing? No, all you need to do is just let the Holy Spirit of God come right in here and stay. That's all you need to do. You let him stay here, that junk leaves. You know why? Because he's going to command it out of your life. He's going to get it out of your life. But you can't do it on your own. If you think you can, you're sadly mistaken. I guarantee you right now, maybe even in this room right now, there's some of you that think you've got your life under control, but you don't. You don't have it under control. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is not controlling your life. You're doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. And the Holy Spirit is not guiding you. If He was, guess what? You'd be doing it for Him. You'd be praising Him. You'd be worshiping Him. You'd be doing the fruit of the Spirit each and every day in your life. It'd be showing more and more and more. Guys, you can't live that double life. You're either in this thing or you're out of it. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved if you're out of it right now, but you need to get back in it, because I'm going to tell you, you're not pleasing God when you're out of fellowship with Him. You cannot please God when you're out of fellowship with Him. He wants complete control of your life. Are you going to give it to Him? Are you going to be selfish and hang on to what you want? See, that's the problem. We want what we want. I want to be left alone. I want to do what I want to do. Okay. Guess what? God's not going to make you do anything. But I tell you one thing, you will be held accountable for it. Amen. So you see, you better be thinking about what you're saying in your heart to God. And what you're saying in your mind to God. And what you're saying in your thoughts to God. And what you're saying when you're doing things you know you ought not be doing. He's not going to make you change. He's just going to stand over here waiting for you to patiently come back in fellowship with Him. And if it doesn't happen on His timetable the way He wants, He's going to turn the heat up. Trust me, He will, guys. He's going to do it. Guys, all who have genuinely been saved, you're going to turn your back on sin. It does not mean you won't ever sin again. But it means your old style of life has been renounced. You're now committed to being obedient to the Lord and walking in His ways, not in the deeds of the flesh. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, you become obedient to His ways. And as we yield to the Holy Spirit, He produces this fruit that reflects Christ and a blessing to them. You know where the battle comes, guys? When we want to do what's right, but we feel something pulling us in the other direction. Oh, I want to do right. No, come back over here. We're just being pulled back and forth between good and evil. Guys, you got to let go. Anything that is not of the Holy Spirit and not being led of you through and by the Holy Spirit, you need to let it go out of your life. You need to get rid of it. I don't care what it is. Friendships, relationships. If God ain't in it, get rid of it. Amen? If He's not in it and He's not producing it and you're not seeing fruit being produced, you need to be out of that. That's the bottom line, guys. That's the only way I know how to tell you, straightforward tell you. Jesus loves you. He wants His rightful place in your heart. Don't you? Please understand what I'm saying here today. I'm not saying that we're bad people, that we're terrible people because we slip up and do something wrong. I'm saying if the Holy Spirit is in His rightful place in your heart, He will enable you to do the right thing. He will enable you to straighten your life out. He will straighten it out for you. You don't have to do a thing but be obedient. Now, what better gift can you get than that? What better guarantee can you get than that, guys? Guys, the only way to break this tension is to surrender to the Lord by confessing and turning from your sin and yielding control of your lives to God, guys. You got to do it. If we refuse to do that, we will become more enslaved to sin and miss out on the blessings and rewards of the obedience that God wants in us. God wants to reward our obedience. Don't you understand that? God wants to reward you for obedience to Him. It may seem impossible to give up a sin that enslaves you, but it isn't if we have the Holy Spirit within us. He'll get rid of it for us. He'll turn our way of thinking into a positive way of thinking for Him. All you got to do today is say, Lord, I want You to enable me. I want You to drive out everything I've blocked You with in my heart, and I want You to come back into my heart right now and take control of my life. That's what you call rededication of your faith. If you're already a born-again believer, you know we need to do that a lot of times in our lives. We need to rededicate our walk with the Lord. Why? Because we've slipped up. We've allowed the devil to get a foothold in our lives. Guys, we need to let the Holy Spirit empower us and turn us away from it and surrender ourselves to God. Surrender yourself to Him. When the Spirit has control of your thoughts and actions, you'll be able to think before you act, and you will have the willingness and strength to follow God's will for your life. It's a simple formula, guys. If you want it, God's got it, and He'll give it to you, and He'll work through you. You want to do it your way, you're setting yourself up for a lifetime of disappointment and sadness and turmoil and trouble. Because if you're a believer and you're going against God's will, that battle is going to be won by who in the end? Jesus is going to win that battle. You're not going to win it. You need to turn it over to Him, guys. He wants what's best for you. But you know the problem we have? We think we know what's best for me. I know what's best for me. Don't tell me that. I know what's best for me. No, you don't. Because if you're not letting the Holy Spirit of God enable you in all these areas of your life, you don't know what's best for you. You think you do. Why? Because that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. He wants you to think you've got everything under control, when in reality, your life is spiraling out of control. But guys, it doesn't have to be that way. We serve a loving God who is willing to forgive you and restore you back into a right relationship just like that.
Amen.
Just like that. You don't have to do anything to earn it. It's already been paid for. Isn't that a great thing? Jesus has already paid for everything you owe Him. He just wants your heart. He wants to be in your heart. Guys, I believe that these following things are keys to self-control. Number one, we must think before we act. We got to think before we act. If we fail to do this, we will regret it later. Number two, we must have a strong desire to obey God. Do you desire to obey God? Do you desire to want Him to have control of your thoughts, your speech, your actions? Is that really your desire? Or is that what you just say you want just to please God, so to speak, or please people that you're telling that to? Guys, if we don't, we're not going to overcome our battle with sin, and we're not going to be able to live a godly lifestyle if we don't do that. Number three, we must believe that the Holy Spirit will enable us. The Spirit will provide the enablement so we can renounce sin and live in submission to Him. How do you live a life that's pleasing to God? You let the Holy Spirit of God enable you to do it. And you just have to sit back and do what the Holy Spirit of God leads you to do. He's going to get rid of those bad thoughts. He's going to get rid of that bad talk. He's going to get rid of those bad habits if you submit completely to Him. But you got to do it that way. There's no other way to do it. You cannot do it your way and expect to have God's results. It's not going to happen. You can't do it. When we're tempted to yield to sin, we should ask ourselves the following questions. I want you to look at these five questions right here. How will this affect me spiritually, what I'm about to do? How will this affect me financially with what I'm about to do? How will this affect my health? How is it going to affect how others see me? How will others see me if I allow these things to happen in my life? And number five, is this better than having God's best for my life? Is what I'm doing of my own free will and accord better than God's best for me? If you can say yes to that, if you can say what you're doing is better than what God wants you to do, you got some issues, folks. There's no way that you should be able to even think of something like that. You should want God's best for you. How do you get it? Say, Jesus, take over my life and take over my heart. Drive out what's in there now that doesn't need to be. And let me start this day forward fresh for you. That's all you got to do, guys. Quit living in darkness. Quit living a double life. Quit letting the spirit and the flesh be in conflict with each other 24/7. Yield to the spirit and the flesh will flee. Amen? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Yield to the spirit and the flesh will flee. That's as simple as I can get it. Guys, in conclusion today, I want to say this. We need to not be deceived about any of this, guys, because Paul warns us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, He tells us not to be deceived because God is not mocked. There are a lot of people mocking God in this world right now, today. You know what? When you're doing things that are out of character for a believer because you don't allow the Holy Spirit of God His rightful place in your heart, you are mocking the very name of God. When you're doing things in private that you know you ought not be doing, when you're doing things in front of other people you know you ought not be doing, you are mocking the name of God. And it's a frightful place to be in the hands of the living God when you're doing stuff like that. You need to think about this, guys. God's not going to be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will always reap. If you claim Christ as your Savior and you live as you please, you're mocking God, and it's going to result in a future of painful harvests of what you have sowed. Sow goodness, you're going to reap goodness. Sow evil, you're going to reap evil. Guys, it's the principle of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow, more than you sow, and most of the time, later than you sow it. See, this stuff doesn't just happen immediately. Oh, God doesn't invoke His hand of discipline on us immediately that often. He gives us an opportunity to get our heart back in the right place. But then He slowly starts doing things to redirect us. He starts letting things happen in our life to pinpoint, hey, there's problems here. We need to get something straightened out here because you're my child and I'm not going to let you keep doing this forever. Then we don't listen. He gets progressively worse. The discipline gets progressively worse. And eventually, He will break us of whatever it is that we refuse to let go of. Guys, we can do it the easy way or we can do it the hard way. If you're a true child of God, He is not going to let His children continue to wander in darkness. He wants you to let His Spirit control you and fill you. To live in obedience to the Lord, however, produces a great crop of righteousness and the fruit of the Spirit in us. Don't you want that? How many of you want that fruit to be shown in your life every day? Anybody? Anybody want to be that way? Some of you didn't raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to preach another 30 minutes then, amen? Some of you didn't get that whole sermon there. I'm going to say it again. How many of you want the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Raise your hand. Okay, still some of you didn't raise your hand. That's okay. God loves you anyway. You know, maybe there's a reason you didn't raise your hand. Maybe you know what I said today is true. But whatever the situation is, guys, let me just say this. God loves you more than you'll ever know. He loved you so much, He sent His Son to die on the cross for you and me, so that we could have eternal life, so that we wouldn't have to struggle with that inner force of good and evil. He'll do it for us. Just give Him control of your heart. And give Him control of your life. Father God, I just thank You, Lord, for this day. I just pray, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, You would just take charge of our lives. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that needs to let go of things in their life, I just pray, God, they'll come to this altar and pray. And maybe they don't need to do that. Maybe they need to pray about and for someone else who needs to. But, Lord, You're in control. If we're Your children, You're not going to leave us. You're not going to forsake us. And You are not going to allow us to continue to be out of fellowship with You forever. Lord, I just pray with all my heart and soul, Lord, that Your love will infiltrate every person here. I pray, God, that You will allow us to be enabled by Your Holy Spirit, by us putting You where You need to be. And that's in the center of our life. Father, I thank You for every person that's here today, Lord. I love everybody that's here today. Lord, You tell us we need to love the sinner and hate the sin, and that's what we're trying to do, God. We love them. We just want them to understand, Lord, that, hey, You just want to have control of our life. And Father God, we're going to give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky? Hymn number 636. The altar's open. You come and you lay down your cares and concerns to Jesus today.